Well, I invite you to take your copy of God's Word this evening and turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I think that as we work our way through this passage, we'll find that this is something that's very timely and always timely for a variety of reasons and a variety of ways and for all of us here this evening. Whether you are a seasoned saint and you've been a follower and worshiper of Jesus for a long time, or if you're new to the faith or you're still asking questions, I pray that this word would fall in good soil this evening. So if you've made your way to 2 Peter chapter 1, I invite you to stand with me. We stand in honor because this is God's word. We stand in attention because God is speaking to us when we read his word. From 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take this word and plant it in us. Lord, that it would bear fruit for your glory, fruit that we can share with others. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, at the very outset of this passage, our reading this evening, this brief passage, we can make an observation as to the intent of why Peter is writing this letter. But while the passage does make his intent and his motivation clear, just reading this passage alone, it does raise some questions. You might think this is an odd place to start a reading of God's word. This, after all, read by itself, is a very loaded passage with some unanswered questions. It starts with therefore. And so we are obliged to look into what was written previously, and we intend to do that this evening. But it also mentions these qualities. And we didn't read what those qualities are that Peter wants to remind the church of. And so we'll certainly look at what these qualities are in just a moment. But before we do that, it would be wise for us to consider why being reminded is so important. If this is, after all, why Peter is writing, that he finds it right to stir them up by way of reminder, then we should take that seriously. You see, sometimes we can be dismissive of reminders because of the nature of what they are. They're reminders of things that we should already know. We often assume that we don't need reminders, right? Oh, I know this already, right? And Peter actually knows this as well. He says, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Peter knows that they know these things, and yet he insists on reminding them. Listen to how he even begins his letter. At the beginning of 2 Peter, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, an entire sermon can be preached on that opening verse. Beautiful truth and rich theology in that passage. But those whom Peter's writing to remind them of these some things, he says that they have obtained a faith. They know these things already, and yet they are to be reminded of them. Now, obviously, Peter finds it important to remind them of these things. But ultimately, because this is the very inspired word of God, God sovereignly ordained these writings being God-breathed, and they are profitable for us. So it's not merely that that Peter wants to remind us, but God desires that we be reminded of these things. And God giving his people reminders in his word is not unique to Peter. Now, Peter is not the only one writing reminders under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Consider the following authors as well who give reminders. Jude, in his brief letter, writing things that his readers already knew, he says, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." Well, not only Jude, but the Apostle Paul as well. When he writes to the church in Rome, he states that on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder. And not only does Paul give reminders, but he also encourages others to give reminders. To Titus, he writes, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work." To Timothy, a young pastor, Paul writes, "Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers." A variety, many other authors other than Peter. But since we're looking at Peter, consider the fact that Peter not only mentions his intention here at the beginning of his letter, that he wants to remind them, but also later, toward the end of his letter as well, he repeats this idea, saying, "This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder." So think about that. Although in his first letter, he doesn't mention anything about reminding them or calling them to remember things, but that's precisely what his intention was all along, he writes in here in 2 Peter, to stir them up, their sincere mind, by way of reminder. Now, considering all these examples, I think it's safe to say that God considers reminders to be necessary, to be important. That just because you may know something to be true, we still need to be reminded. With all of these reminders, it does beg the question, why? Why do we need reminders? Well, the reason we need reminders should not come as a shock to any of us. The reason we need reminders is that we are weak. We're a forgetful people. Like our fathers before us and their fathers before them, and even all the way to the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness and forgot the works of the Lord. God's people throughout history were constantly written to by the prophets to remember the works of the Lord, to remind them. Time would not permit us to go through every single account in the Old Testament where God's people are to remember. They're reminded of what God had done for them. The call to remember is on almost every page. Consider how many of the Psalms mention this theme. We just finished a series going through all 150 Psalms, and think about how many of them mention to be reminded, to be remembering. Listen to a few of these. Psalm 77, for example, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old." Psalm 105 is a command, "Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered." Psalm 143, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all you have done. I ponder the work of your hands." And consider also some verses that mention when God's people fail to remember. And these, by the way, come from those particular psalms that serve as a summary of history. There are several psalms which tell a history of God's gracious dealings with his people, his deliverances contrasted with Israel's rebellion and disobedience. And it's this very rebellion and disobedience which serves as a necessity for reminders. Psalm 78, for example, says they tested God again and again and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe, when he performed his signs in Egypt. Psalm 106, our fathers, when they were in Egypt, they did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. And it's in this psalm, this Psalm 106, that we read some of the most tragic, heartbreaking words that we should pray are never said of us. And these words should sound very familiar because they are also described in Romans chapter 1. But Psalm 106 goes on to say that they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a metal image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. Listen, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. This is precisely the reason why we need reminders. This is why Peter, Paul, Jude, Timothy, all of them were reminding those under their care of these things. For although they once knew, or that they are currently established in the truth, how soon and quickly can we fail to remember and thus forget God, our Savior? I know I'm spending a lot of time and labor on this point that we need reminders. And you might be thinking, all right, we get it. We understand. But if anything should teach us from these passages that we've read, is that it's quite possible to get it and forget it. And so we need these reminders. In fact, one can easily make the case that every single time that we gather for worship, every single Lord's Day sermon that is preached is another reminder. Every single time that we meet in a life group or Wednesday night live class or youth group gatherings or counseling session, every time that we meet with other believers in a discipleship format, we are stirring up one another by way of reminder. Remember the Lord. What does God's word say? What does God's word remind you of? Because brothers and sisters, the stakes are too high if we forget the Lord. Listen to how the author of Hebrews describes this same mentality of stirring one another along to remember. Now, although he doesn't use the word remind or remember, that's precisely what he has in mind when he says in Hebrews chapter 3, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you away, to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." These words should give us great pause. Very sobering words. You see, what's at stake here is not that you merely forget something that you should have remembered. What's at stake here is our very souls. That on the day of judgment, there would be found an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from God, a heart that was hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The stakes are high. And so we exhort one another, we remind one another and ourselves of truth every single day, as long as it's called today. You might think that's hyperbole to say every single day, but I would beg to differ. The potential threat to forget is always there, which is why we always, all the time, every single day, we need to be reminded of truth from God's word. And this too was Peter's intent for writing. Again, he says in verse 12, "Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities." In other words, Peter isn't going to just remind them now through this letter. But, you know, even if later, if he gets the opportunity to see them again in person, he would always remind them. If somehow Peter went on to write other letters to the churches, if there was a third Peter or a fourth Peter, do you think that it would contain something different? Do you think there would be anything different in there? Any new information? Or would they be more reminders? The same exhortations day after day, so that those people under his care as a shepherd wouldn't be deceived. And the threat of being deceived is a real threat. Not only because of our forgetfulness, our weak nature in the flesh, but also because there are constant external threats to the truth that the believers needed to be aware of about in Peter's day, and that we need to be on guard about today as well. You see, much of the rest of Peter's letter, it deals with the reality of false teachers. False teachers that can easily creep in and deceive his hearers. Those whose end is destruction, along with anyone else who follows their teaching. And so that is why it is of utmost importance that believers are reminded of truth and all the more established in it, in order to constantly be on guard when something contrary to the truth is taught or presented. So brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged when you come on a Lord's Day or to a Wednesday Night Live class or a life group, and you hear stuff that you already know or that you've heard before. If anything, be thankful that you are being reminded and all the more established in that truth. So I have a sort of ironic confession to make. It's not really a confession of anything wrong or sinful, but rather just something that I'm a little embarrassed and insecure about at the moment as I'm preaching this evening. And I say that it's ironic for this reason. We are hearing from God's word about reminders. And earlier on this past week, I realized that I had forgotten something. You see, it's our regular practice here at First Church to work through and preach through books of the Bible, or oftentimes during evening services, we'll have a particular series. Well, we just ended a series, and so I'm preaching just a single individual sermon in between series, and I was really struggling with what to preach for on a single sermon. I went to Matt several times. I'm just struggling, and you may think that's weird. Yeah, we got an entire book here. There's so much you can preach on. But I really wrestled with what to preach on. And I had settled on a certain passage that I wanted to study and preach on. And then I soon realized that it was a little too close to something that was coming up in Mark's gospel that Pastor Glenn or Matt will probably address. And so I didn't want to preach that. And so I wrestled some more with what to preach on. And finally, I settled on this passage from 2 Peter 1. I thought it was perfect. We all need reminders, right? Well, I got a couple days into my sermon prep, and then I realized something. I realized that I had totally forgotten that I preached on this very passage several years ago. Now, I know that you all remembered it, of course. But I had obviously forgotten. And I was frustrated and embarrassed. And you know, what if people mention it? What if they remember? If they have total recall, they can just remember all that stuff. Now I will say, I'm preaching the same passage, but a different message. I did my work. I did my due diligence. I did go back and look at some of my old notes, which was interesting. But the bottom line is, I ended up sticking with this passage because, well, time was running out. But recognizing my own need to constantly be reminded through God's word, that we're forgetful people, and if God's word reminds us over and over again, then we can hear once again from this passage. So let's go back to our text again and keep considering the purpose for these reminders. We already started looking at this a little bit by pointing out the fact that there are false teachers that Paul was warning about in his letter, and so they needed to be established in the truth and thus be reminded of truth over and over. But the question must be asked, to what end? Are we merely to remember things and have knowledge of certain facts? Is that what it means to be established in the truth? Peter writes in verse 15 that he will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So is that the purpose, just to recall them, just to remember them? Is recalling these things the end goal? Is remembering and not forgetting the main purpose? Or is recalling these things, is remembering them, is it a means to another end? Well, in order to answer that question, we're simply going to go back to the beginning of 2 Peter. We're going to read what exactly Peter means by these things, these qualities that they are to be reminded of. Look with me in your Bibles at how Peter begins his letter. After he gives his greeting, in verse 3, this is a longer passage, but I want to read it in its whole so you get the whole picture of what Peter's reminding them of, what those qualities were, as well as the purpose, why the stakes are so high. Listen, beginning in verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And now he's going to start talking about what those things are. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities, there's that word, these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. So having read that context of what those things, those qualities are that Peter intends to always remind them of, having read that, what do you notice? What should we clearly understand is that reminders from God always have an action side to it. The purpose is not merely to know and be reminded of God's word for knowledge's sake, although that is part of it. We need to know God's word. But we're reminded of the purpose for growth in godly living, living in Christ's righteousness by faith in what we do know. It's really a twofold thing. Many people have mentioned this before, and I will remind us of it again, but so much of the New Testament writing is divided that way. It focuses on knowledge and then practice. Letters are divided into sections of right belief and right living, the knowledge of truth and the practice of truth. Both are a part and purpose of these reminders. We are to know, but we are to put into practice. This is exactly why Peter wrote to the church, to remind them of these qualities. You see so clearly both aspects of the purpose of being reminded there. Reminders are necessary, again, because we're weak, we're forgetful, and the purpose of being reminded of God's word is to grow in both knowledge and in practice. So we should not walk away from a carefully exposited word of God and say, I'm full. I'm satisfied. I think I need to take a nap, much like you would after a big Thanksgiving meal. No. Rather, we should, out of that satisfaction of being fed with the rich word of God, we should go on to live for the glory of God. Put that word into practice. Now, I understand that we just read a more lengthy passage there from Peter, one that could take several sermons to unpack. And I do encourage you as a follow-up, perhaps, to use those verses to be discussed during family worship at your home or in smaller groups. But this evening, I just want to give a broad picture, a fly-by view of this. And while it would be great to memorize that entire passage, and that would be a worthwhile effort to commit that passage to memory, I believe that there's a more pithy passage, one that we can memorize that really summarizes that entire opening few verses of 2 Peter. All that we just read, I know you can't read that, but I wanted to show you that whole passage. All that we just read there about God granting us all things that pertain to life and godliness, all of Peter's encouragement to make every effort to supplement their faith with virtue and knowledge and self-control, steadfastness, godliness, and so on. All those qualities, those things. The truth that if we possess these qualities and they are increasing, they keep us from being ineffective and unfruitful. The warnings about being nearsighted if we lack these qualities, being blind and forgetting that we were cleansed from our sins, all of that. If we were to summarize that all and commit that to memory, it would be an amazing thing. But I believe that if you want to summarize all that truth into a short statement, how about committing to memory James 1:22? It says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." We're not merely to just know, but to be doers of the word. I think we can all commit this passage to memory, to recall this in times where we are struggling in our faith, to be putting into practice what we know to be true. Not that we can merely know the word, but that we would truly know and do the word. "Your word I have hidden in my heart so that I can just remember it? No, so that I might not sin against thee." The whole reason that Peter is reminding the church is to build them up into maturity, being firmly established in the truth, meaning that they know the truth and in fact are being fruitful in that knowledge, bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. So whether you are filled with knowledge from God's word and you're growing in the practice of that, or if you're struggling in your walk with Christ, you need to put yourself, all of us, in positions to be constantly reminded by God's word. We need to be seeking mutual benefit from other brothers and sisters. Well, so far tonight, we've looked at the importance of why we need reminders, and we've seen what's at stake, that the stakes are high, that we wouldn't be deceived and end up with an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. We've looked at what it means to be reminded, not as an end in itself, but that we would put into practice the very truth that we are called to remember. And I want to end this evening by pointing out the fact that what we've been reading are a dying man's words. A dying man's words. Most of us don't know when our time will come, and so we should use our time and our words carefully. But Peter, on the other hand, he did have a sense of his impending death. It's believed that Peter wrote this second letter to the church from Rome during a time of great persecution, just prior to Peter's death. Although we aren't told in Scripture, Christian tradition teaches that Peter was martyred by crucifixion upside down. Death was knocking at Peter's door, and he believed at any moment he could die for the cause of Christ. Time was not a luxury to be spent doing whatever he pleased at any moment. Peter stated in verse 13, "I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder." since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as the Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. In John chapter 21, Jesus had foretold the kind of death that Peter would endure. And Peter didn't know when that would happen, but he felt as though it would be very soon. And as long as he had his life, his body, he was not going to waste it. Peter wanted his dying words to make a difference and instill hope and growth in his fellow believers. There's a sense of urgency in his reminders. Well, the same could be said as well of the Apostle Paul. And some of his last words, advice to a young pastor, Timothy. In Paul's last letter written while in prison as well, waiting for his death, he writes to Timothy saying, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." So clearly, the Apostle Paul also knew that his time was short. And what advice, what dying last words advice does Paul give to Timothy? It's recorded just a couple verses prior to this. Paul says, "I charge you, Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and dead and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word." Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. And Paul also warned about false teachers as well, and people who have itching ears for such things. Brothers and sisters, this is not just a word to pastors and teachers who proclaim God's word, but it's a reminder to all of us to constantly submit ourselves to such a ministry. This is the primary mark of a true church. We read earlier in the service from the Belgic Confession. Listen to this distinctive mark of a true church found in Article 29. The Belgic Confession states, "The true church can be recognized if it has the following marks." The very first thing mentioned, the church engages in the pure preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of God's word is the primary way that we are reminded. These are the ordinary means of grace by which we are reminded of what God has done for us, so that we can grow into godliness and maturity. And not only this means of grace in preaching, but the Belgic goes on to mention the sacraments as well. Now think about every time that we partake of the bread and the wine, we do so in remembrance, to remind ourselves of what God has done for us, who we are being united to him. Early on in this sermon, we looked at not only Peter, but how all the other New Testament authors wrote as well about reminders. We looked at several passages written as reminders to believers, where there's one passage I did not mention. And Paul writes this, and if there's anything that we constantly need to be reminded of, it is this. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 these words, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand." And so he's reminding them of something they've received in which they stand in, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures." If we need to be reminded of anything, It is the gospel constantly. It's not simply an initiation message into the faith, although it is, for it is a salvation, it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. But the gospel is the very thing that we need to daily remind ourselves and preach to ourselves constantly and to one another when you meet here every Lord's Day or on Wednesday night or in a life group or in a counseling session. We're reminding ourselves of who Christ is, that we may grow up into full maturity, putting into practice, being doers of the word, not hearers only, being deceived. Brothers and sisters, the stakes are high. Let's encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your patience with us, your patience with me, and how I am forgetful, and how your word is eternal. Lord, that I am reminded that I constantly need to be reminded of these qualities, these things that the knowledge of you should flow out into a life of gratitude and growing in maturity and godliness and virtue and brotherly love. Father, may this be said of us. May we be not numbered among those who are forgetful, those who are deceived. Certainly, Lord, those not those who fall away from you with an evil, unbelieving heart. But God, help us to encourage one another, to spur one another along, to stir us up by way of reminder. We thank you for your word, your eternal word. May no other message be on our lips and in our hearts but what you give to us. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.